once again for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Ford Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Welcome to Insight without Jack Sogler tonight. He's not able to be here. His wife told him he had to be somewhere else, and so he is. And so tonight we are joined by guys from the Racing for Relief group. So let's just start this way. We'll start over here and have you introduce yourself, and we'll just go around the table.
Alan Seifring, Secretary Treasurer for our group.
Nathan Fortkamp, President.
Mike Osterholt, sometimes volunteer.
The other times you're just assigned.
Yeah. You're just recruited. I'm always assigned.
So, Racing for Relief. Does one of you want to just kind of explain what it is and what you do? And we'll get into details a little later. So whoever wants to jump in. Looks like they're pointing to you, Alan.
Well, I guess. We've started this group back in 2014. There's currently seven of us that govern this particular group. There's one from Fort Recovery, Nathan. There's three of us from St. Henry, one from Burgessville, and then one from Yorkshire. So we get a wide variety of people, different ideas, different public comments to include on what we do.
Mm-hmm. So racing, what kind of racing, what do? Where do you do it? When do you do it? And how would somebody get involved with doing it? We don't have to answer all of those now, but let's get somewhere in there in the next hour.
We got the go-karts that race at the Jubilee. This year we raced on Thursday night up there until it rained on us. It's a relay race, and you jump in and out of the go-kart during pit stops, and it's kind of a different type of racing for the crowd to see.
Mm-hmm. So you do it at what places do you do it?
Right, so up here at the Jubilee, we used to do the St. Henry Picnic, but this year with some venue changes, we're getting moved out of there. The Country Fest and at Eldora Speedway on Little E, we race out there also.
Oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. So how many vehicles, how many go-karts or teams are involved in this, and do all of them race every week?
We've got about eight to ten minor drivers that are anywhere between 10, 12, 15 years old, and they race in their own class. Then we've got two more classes of, we call them the clone and predator classes. The predator class has between 6 and 8, and then the clone class has between 6 and 8 also.
Yeah, so good and competitive, and are most of the teams local?
Yeah, most of them. Zeb Winter comes from the Belle Fountain area, but he married a local girl, so somewhat local.
Yeah. So if somebody's going to watch these, they'll have somebody more than likely that they know that they can root for or root against if they...
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That probably happens, too. But so the go-karts, are they... are they ones that people build themselves? Do they go buy them somewhere? Is there a certain specs? Not that we need to get into all the specs, but just whether there are some and what kind of, you know, what's involved with the carts?
Well, we started this it has to be, we bought frames first, we bought carts, and it ended up that they quit making them, so we ended up, we had some frames bent. And then we started welding them together ourselves, and then we let other people put them together. the teams put them together, I should say. So mm-hmm. it is our cart.
So the frame is standard. What they do with it after that is, I'm sure there's some limitations, but it's what they do themselves.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. You can adjust on it, and there's quite a few things to adjust.
Like different motors they can put on and that type of thing, or has to be?
It's got to be a Honda clone, or it's a clone lookalike is what mm-hmm. they call it. It's a clone, and it's a 6.5 horse.
Okay, so everybody's kind of starting on the same playing field, level playing field, but you're kind of, you can do some tweaking and that kind of thing. And that probably, I'm guessing you're trying to get it more down to fun and driving skills rather than see who the best mechanic is and who can cheat the most.
Yeah, we don't all have as much money as Mike does to throw it all at the cart, so something's got to keep it fair.
And it's not cheating unless you get caught.
Well, I'm going to guess you guys all have pretty honest faces, so I'm going to say it isn't you guys. So, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and get into some of the big details here on the Racing for Relief, and we'll get into the carts and some of that kind of stuff, but we'll also get into the give back kind of things that you guys do to help people. So we'll be back in just a little.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at cooperfarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Cadote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. K&L Tractor is proud to be the authorized Kloss hay and forage dealer for this part of the Midwest. Whether you need a Kloss baler, hay tool, or forage harvester, K&L Tractor is the place to go. We have the Kloss product you need and the factory-trained technicians to keep you running smooth. So remember, for all your Kloss harvesting needs, shop at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Recovery FFA is again sponsoring a Gingerbread House Family Night for children in grades pre-kindergarten through fifth grade, and parents are required to accompany their children. It will be held in the high school commons on Thursday, December 14th from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and each child will use his or her own creativity and decorate a gingerbread house to take home. The cost is $10 per child, and you'll need to register by Thursday, December 7th. Registration forms will be sent home with your kids, and you can also print them from the Fort Recovery School's Facebook page or pick them up at the school. Be sure to get your students registered for this fun event, sponsored by our local FFA chapter. It's for students from pre-kindergarten through fifth grade, and you'll need to register them before Thursday, December 7th. That's the FFA's Gingerbread House Family Night on Thursday, December 14th in the high school commons. Sorry, I thought we had one more commercial to go, and we don't. So, sorry about that. We were chit-chatting and having a good time. So, we're back here on Insight with the guys from Racing for Relief. And we started talking about the go-karts and some things. More details that you want to go over?
We did start a new class this year. We started with the clone class, which is a clone that is stock appearing. Okay. You can do anything to the inside of the engine you want to, but the outside of the engine is stock appearing. And to use our frames, and instead of going for four drivers or three drivers and having pit stops, we're going to try this year and put one driver in it, run roughly about half the laps, because that's about all you can take, and it'll be one driver that does the whole thing.
Okay.
Instead of changing.
So, did you have a lot of people asking for that, or is there some of the teams having trouble getting enough drivers, or what brought you to one driver?
Yeah, it was a little bit of shortage of drivers. A little bit of people wanted to kind of bring the cost down a little bit, too. So, by not having your go-kart out there for 100 laps a night, you know, now we're going to be cut down to, it'll still be about 40 to 50 laps a night instead of 100, so it will save the wear and tear on the carts. And,
that makes plenty of sense.
Yep.
But it also gets to bring the elderly back out, those who don't want to jump in and out of the cars. We've got a handful of them that are interested in coming back.
Still can drive just as well as they could, but getting in and out is...
Just got to pull the cart off the wall.
So, that brings me to a question. So you said half the laps. So when you're doing an actual race, about how many laps in each race, or in each, let's say when you are switching drivers, how many laps does each driver do, and how many laps are in that particular heat?
In the Predator class, which is multi-drivers, we're tentatively shooting for 32 lap heat races.
Okay.
And that'd be two of those, and then you'll have an A-main of 64, which is what we've ran in the past how many years. But that's strictly going to be for the Predator class only, where, again, multiple drivers.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the Clone class, we're thinking more in line of the 16-lap type for a heat race, invert it, however we end up doing the final details, and then doing, let's say, twice as much roughly for the A-main.
Okay.
So those kind of deals all have to work out, but those are the lap frames that we're tentatively shooting for.
Mm-hmm. So are you guys welcoming any new drivers, any new teams that might want to be in, and what does it cost? And I'm guessing a lot of these teams get sponsors and that type of thing. Or is that, am I assuming way too much?
No, you're assuming just correct.
Okay.
Tentatively, we're looking for that Clone class. You're going to have a $375 entry. And again, lap count is all got to be finalized yet. But $375 for the Clone. The Predator class is going to be like it was this year, $750. Normal laps just as in the past. And then we also are talking about that Minor class where you pay $150 and basically the kids just get a pay to play.
Okay.
So we still own the carts. We still maintenance the carts. We just have the parent and or sibling come and help afterward fix the cart.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So that's a good, that's a good trade-off. So kids get to do their thing. And you know, I guess if they're old enough, they can at least act like they're helping work on the carts. But because if they're interested in it, they're also interested in the mechanics of it, too. So if they can, even if all they're doing is watching or handing somebody tools, they're at least involved and get to know what it takes to get to play in the golf cart. Or the go-kart, not the golf cart.
Yeah, the kids are definitely help. They don't do the best job cleaning them.
Right.
Naturally, a kid never does clean the room very good either, but they do a good job. And as far as the cost, like for a new team to get in, we've got several used carts that typically sell between $400 and $800, depending on what comes on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And our new frame ready to roll out the door, as long as you're willing to promise us, you know, 2-3 good years of racing, a lot of times we can get you in there for $1,500 to $2,000 to get you a year's worth of racing. Or, you know, if you get a sponsor to pay your entry fee and part of the cart or the parts, you know, you can be all in for less than $1,000 as long as you get some sponsorship.
Well, that's good. So if, let's say, there are some kids or even adults with teams or something that would like to get in on it, who would they contact? Is there a Facebook, phone number, website that they would do?
website. It's got all the contact information as far as the individual phone numbers of the trustees. Mm-hmm. But we got the Facebook, you got Twitter, you got our website.
Yeah, so Racing for Relief, if you start putting that in on Facebook, it'll pop up. And if you want to message them or just find more about it. That's good.
Call the radio station. They got the numbers, too.
Yeah, we'll give them to you. I'll tell them that you're only allowed to call after midnight, between midnight and 6.
So, well, it's going to be some late nights, guys.
Well, I guess if that did actually get you some extra people, I guess, as long as it only happened once or twice a year, that might not be so bad. So Racing for Relief, you do go-kart racing, and you do it at some of the local community picnics, that type of thing. I know there's more to Racing for Relief than just going out and doing go-kart racing. So what other things do you do? You do raise some money, and how do you?
There's a couple other events. We start out in January 26th and 27th. We'll have a bowling fundraiser held over at Playmore Lanes in Coldwater. That just went out on Facebook here this last week, and it didn't take long, and the one's just full already. So,
well, that's good.
We usually fill up. We average 210 bowlers for one weekend.
Wow. That's pretty good.
It is. Raffle tickets are out just now as well. Mm-hmm. So those are on Facebook. Those who would like to purchase any, drop us a Facebook message.
What's on the raffle? What kind of stuff? Just things from local merchants, or all bowling things, or all go-kart things?
It's pretty much all prizes. There's Blackstone. There's gun safe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so all kinds of
multiple gift certificates.
Yep.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful sponsors, though.
That's good. That's really good. Shout out to all those sponsors when you get your raffle ticket, you'll see the names on there, and make sure go to those sponsors and buy things. That's how they can afford to help people like the Racing for Relief. So bowling fundraiser. So you say that's out on Facebook.
Right, we just put that out there yesterday, so the entry form is out, the raffle tickets are out, we have tip book prizes, stuff mm-hmm. like that. It happens in-house.
Right, yeah.
Biggest thing is, if you're thinking about putting a team in, don't wait, get your name in the hat so that you can reserve your spot.
Yeah, and if you do get shut out, just go out anyway and have fun, even if you don't get to bowl.
Yeah, and if you don't, like you say, if you're not able to bowl, you want to just go to Playmore Lanes and eat supper and come on over and buy a few tip books and a few raffles, we'll welcome you in with open arms.
Yeah, so that's coming up in end of January, I believe you said, right?
January 26th and 27th.
So it's big enough, you have to have 2 days.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's 3 shifts, but we used to do 5. And that was over here at Fort Recovery back in 2009.
Yep.
2008.
Yep. I remember those days, I think.
A lot of fun.
Yep. Yep. So you have the fundraiser. What else? What are the kind of things do you... let me just ask before we go to the next thing. Is that bowling fundraiser, are those funds, do they go in with your general fund and distribute it, or do those go to something specific?
We use those for the general fund, but for the most part, we give out 2 scholarships every year. So up to this point, we've gave out 14 scholarships totaling over $7,000.
Wow.
So those usually come out of the bowling. Mm-hmm. Your rental storage stuff, our equipment for winter time, mm-hmm. your insurance costs, a lot of that stuff comes out of that bowling. So then when it comes to go-kart racing and them other things, the money you raise, hopefully you can turn around and get a lot of that money out to who you're raising money for, why your mission, what your mission is.
Right, and we'll get into some of those specifics here in a little bit. So you say that's the first of 4 things?
Yes. We also have a golf outing, usually sometime in the end of September, October, held off the Mercer County Elks. Mm-hmm. Only had it 2 years. It's growing. You can't get a whole lot more fun as long as the weather's favorable.
Yeah.
And again, it's just extra money that you use for covering the other cost of stuff.
Yep.
Fire and EMS are welcome, your public people. That stuff will go out sometime at the end of, first of August, sometime.
Yep. So make sure that's on your radar, too, in addition to the bowling, which is going on now. So get in and your regular go-kart racing.
Yes.
You want to make sure you get in on all of that. So what other kind of events do you put on or things like that, I guess?
One of our bigger ones is the sale of 50-50 at Eldora Speedway. Mm-hmm. We do that under the Tony Stewart Foundation. This past year was a pretty phenomenal year when it comes to weather. Mm-hmm. We had three nights that we had to deal with some precipitation, but we've done 18 nights out there. And again, without Erica at the Tony Stewart Foundation, Tony Stewart, his mom, his dad, the rest of the board members, they're an excellent, excellent nonprofit group to work with. For those who don't know, TSF, which is Tony Stewart Foundation, they provide funding to well-qualified organizations such as critically ill or disabled kids, mm-hmm. animals at risk or endangered, and then drivers injured in the sport of motor racing. So that's what they're gearing toward. I'm thinking they're in the neighborhood of $650,000 that they're granting out this year as well.
That's awesome. That's really good. That has to feel good to you guys to at least be some part of that that's helping all these things you mentioned. Plus, you know, it is work, but it's kind of fun work when you get to go out and run through the crowd and chit-chat with people and back and forths and all that stuff. Sometimes you end up in a too long a conversation. You don't get enough tickets sold. You get half as many as the other crews, but still, you know, that probably is fun, isn't it?
Oh, you meet all kinds out at Eldora. It's amazing.
Yeah, probably some real kooks and some really awesome people, too.
The thicker you can lay it on out there, usually the better.
Yep. And that's what they expect, and that's what they like, and that's probably what they do right back. So, you know, if you're out there and you're having fun, they're going to have fun, and they'll buy tickets from you.
They sure will.
And now, if I remember right from last year, you guys have that down to kind of a science, don't you? It's gotten to be a pretty big deal.
It's getting to be a bigger deal. The ripping tickets by hand for us is in the wayside now. It's all electronically done.
Yep.
Unless we get some statistics here we'll share with you. And I'm not sure you'd like to tear this many tickets.
If it's more than five, I'm out.
you're in trouble.
Yeah, I know.
This past year, the tickets that go into the barrel, there was 2,262,596 tickets. 2,262,596 tickets.
And a half a million of those were printed twice.
Oh, man. That'd be a chore.
Well, ask Mike. The chore is getting them out of the barrel at the end of the night.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true, too. Yeah.
Oh, besides a match, that's the only way we figured out how to do it.
You said you did 18 different days out there.
Yes, we did 18 different days. All the drawings this year were claimed. Paid out over $100,000 three times this year.
Wow.
The highest for this year was $109,906 payout at Saturday of the Dream.
Wow.
And then we paid out over $85,000 five times this year. So, again,
yeah,
you got to give a shout out to our trustees, our wives, girlfriends, significant others, but our volunteers. 551 people came out to help us.
Over those 18.
And out of those, there was five of them that went into a group. Other than that, all the fire and EMS and civic groups brought their own people out to cover those time slots.
Wow. And that's, you know, and again, that's good for them. They get to be out around people, and some of the people in the crowd are going to be local, and they're going to recognize some of these local EMS and fire department people, that type of thing. So that's got to be fun for them. And, you know, they have to be pretty happy to be a part of something as big as the Tony Stewart Foundation and just do their part to make, I think you said, $665,000 to help all these things, the animals at risk and the injured drivers and all those kind of things. That's got to be a really nice thing for them to feel like they've really done something worthwhile.
And the best part is you know, that's all money that's raised. Like you say, there's a few people local that are at Eldora, but mm-hmm. how many of those people are here from 2, 3, 4 states away that
yep.
are able to donate their money? Yeah, I mean, they're gambling the money to play the 50-50, but a lot of them look at it as a donation to
right.
the good cause that they see us do, because they see most of us wear either our Racing for Relief or a fire department shirt, you know, so they know they're buying tickets yeah. from volunteer firemen
yep.
and from volunteer EMS services. So everyone at Eldora that's given us the money to put towards that 50-50 has been, you know, it's generosity
right.
from them too.
Yeah, and that's really good, because, and you know, you kind of think, wow, they're from Iowa, you know, why would they be donating to this? Because they're good people. That's the kind of people that that go to Eldora. Just, you know, you might see them hooting and hollering and raising a ruckus, but if somebody needs help, they're going to help you, and they're happy to chat with you and give you $10 and hope they win $109,000. You know,
and one thing we do have to look at is give a shout out to all the EMS and the fire departments. Because, first of all, they're out there giving of their time, volunteering, and putting their life yep. on the line once in a while.
Yep.
And then they still come back and help us to raise money to make their life better. So it's, they just do a lot. And them people deserve a credit. They,
yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they don't get to make their time slots either. Like most of us have yeah. appointments at certain times.
Yep.
They don't get that choice. When that pager goes off.
Yep. So that reminded me of something you told before. Let's take a break. We'll come back and let you tell that story about your banquet and how that all the little goofy things that went on there. We'll be back in just a minute or two.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery is now hiring in their service and parts departments. Hull Brothers sells and services both farm equipment and lawn and garden equipment. Full-time employees enjoy generous wages, health insurance, paid vacations, 401k contributions, annual bonuses, and more. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers with skilled and dedicated employees. Consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Apply today at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery.
Everybody has that hard-to-buy-for person on their Christmas list, and Mary Kalane's has just what you need to solve that problem for you. Mary Kalane's gift cards. You can get them from $5 up to $500, and they can be used for anything they sell at Mary Kalane's. Bowling equipment and games, food, drinks, anything they offer at Mary Kalane's. Don't spend your time looking online or in the stores for something they don't want. Just head out to Mary Kalane's and get your Christmas shopping done fast and easy, and they'll love you for it. Mary Kalane's gift cards, the best Christmas gift you can give them. Friends of the Fort Recovery Library would like to invite the public to view the Fort Festival of Trees now through Saturday, December 30th. Each year, businesses, organizations, and families decorate Christmas trees and wreaths that are displayed at our library. Listening to Christmas music while viewing the trees, visitors are invited to vote for their favorite entry. Votes are then tallied to see which tree will win the People's Choice Award, and the name of that family or organization will be engraved on a plaque that will remain at the library all through the year. This beloved family tradition is enjoyed by patrons of all ages. Stop by to see the beautiful display at the Fort Festival of Trees, now through December 30th, during regular library hours. All right, we're back on Insight. Talking with the guys from Racing for Relief, we have Mike Osterholt. excuse me. And
Alan Seifert.
Alan. I'm just catching what Nathan had. And Nathan, so we want to tell our story. You want to lead into that with something? You got something, some other way you want to go with that? Because it was, it's exactly what you guys do.
Well, we left off, as you know, that we don't get to pick our, or the fire department don't get to pick their times to go out.
Yep.
We get to make our appointments of this and that, but we had our banquet here this past Saturday. And with that being said, we are just getting started, and it got to be 6:15, 6:20, and some of the fire department members there just sat down to start shoveling in, and some of them got the first spoonful, and guess what went off? Yep, their beeper.
Oh, man.
So they didn't get a plan that, but they end up taking a few other fire departments with them. They end up having, I believe, a dryer fire at a structure. They had some work to do with smoke cleanup and water cleanup there, but that led us to where we were moving forward at our banquet. Again, we had a very good year. We end up giving out $262,200.
All you do is drive go-karts.
Well, they do. I just hit a golf ball. We were looking for somebody else to throw bowling balls around.
So when you told me your number last year, I about fell out of my chair, because in my head, how you raise money is, hey, you get a little money from Eldora with the 50-50s, but you raise some money with your go-kart racing So that'd be a nice way to raise $5,000 or $10,000 and have some fun. And instead, it's $262,000. And so where does that money go?
Well, first, when they do that kind of money, especially at Eldora, those people are not just handed that to them. They're coming out to work for some of that as well. So it's not just give me your hand and fill it up. So a lot of them put it anywhere from 40 to 80 hours out there.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the fire and EMS, we've hit Montezuma Fire Department, get some donations. They help us in one of those four fundraisers that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Southwest Mercer, Burkittsville Fire, Chickasaw Fire, St. Henry Fire, Osgood Fire, New Bremen Fire, Versailles Fire, Liberty Township, and our Starfire.
Liberty Township, where's that?
South side of Greenville.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Down by New Madison.
Yep.
And then your squad, you got the St. Henry Southern Mercer County Joint Ambulance District, Coldwater Squad, Osgood Squad, and Ansonia Rescue.
Yep. So I'm guessing with those, each one of them still gets a pretty good sized check. To do what they want to with, or do you kind of have any parameters on what they do with the money?
It doesn't go for beer and peanuts.
No. You don't say, like, one year everybody's going to get an AED or whatever it might be.
Whatever their wish list fills in their need. For the squads to have to buy fire hose is sort of useless, but when they have to do AEDs quicker than some of the fire department people, they generally submit a wish list the first part of the year. And then depending what other money they raise, if it's their own barbecues or if they get own donations throughout the year, but they can fulfill their projects.
Yep.
And then at the end of the year, when they purchase those, they give us invoices and pictures of the equipment so that we can keep our tallies going on our end.
Yep, that's good. And kind of keep a scrapbook and a verification, but probably more for scrapbook purposes, because if you, I'm guessing that there aren't very many scoundrels in these EMS and fire departments that are kind of, hey, let's see if we can get a whole bunch of money and we can have a poker party or something. That's not that's not what they do. They do not. They might have a poker party, but anyway, there's money.
And it helped. So, I think it was the last second week of August this year, they end up having a family fun night at Eldora Speedway. Mm-hmm. And TSF, us, and then all the fire department and EMS, they brought their equipment to showcase so people can see
perfect.
What was bought. And we filled a 60 by 100 barn up pretty easily, with wishing that they want to do that next year again. So that kind of stuff has to be worked out. But to give the opportunity for the public to come out and view it, see it,
yeah,
run it. There was a lot of stuff, you know, ripped some cars up, and a lot of people didn't get to see some of that stuff when they're back home.
Right. Yeah, so that's a great idea. We're, you know, because the people may know about this and saw that they did the jaws of life to do this, but you know, the fire department has done a couple things here in town, and I've never seen them, and they do it in my backyard. so I don't even see it. But
you need to invite them over to your front garage.
Yeah, probably should have. It's just an unbelievable amount of money that you guys are helping to raise for great things. And now how did you guys get kind of linked in with doing the 50-50 at Eldora? How did that all happen?
We put a request in to see if we can get started out there. And that would have been in 2016, I believe. Mm-hmm. We did six races at the end of the season just as a fill-in. And they liked our numbers. They liked what we provided. And after that year, we were offered to have it full-time.
And in that, Alan got a phone call on like a Friday night saying, hey, can you be here with 16 people tomorrow morning? And he rallied the troops and got it under control. So it was kind of a last minute deal, and Alan kind of took charge and made it happen.
And that's probably got you some extra brownie points to get a little bigger share of the 50-50 nights, which gets you a bigger share of the people
that's sitting here. Those are the ones we've talked to for the most part just to get started out. But as soon as we got the opportunity, we called the fire department, fire chiefs, and most of those said, yeah, we will get you this many people. They didn't tell us names. They just said, we will be there.
Yeah, you don't need names. You need numbers.
So, it's nice to have that backing. You know.
Right. And they know that you're helping them, and they know where that help comes from, indirectly from themselves. They don't go out and they don't get to keep any of that money they get for the Tony Stewart Foundation, but they do get a lot of it back.
Correct.
And probably, I'm just guessing, they're probably getting, if you counted each one of them's money per hour, they're probably getting 20, 40, 50 bucks an hour for what they're going to get back from what they're putting out there. And you know they're having fun. You know, they're out at Eldora. If you're at Eldora and not having fun, that's your fault.
You said it all.
That is your fault. So are there certain, let's say, fire departments, EMS, that sometimes need more than maybe their share that year? Are you able to do that, or you try to keep it evenly distributed somewhat each one of them gets about the same, or how does it go, or depend on what night they were there?
It all depends on all their participation throughout the whole year.
Okay.
So do they bowl? Do they sell raffle tickets at the beginning of the year? Mm-hmm. And then do they help fill water barrels at the go-kart tracks? Mm-hmm. Do they help us at the go-kart tracks during the races? Mm-hmm. Do they help us one night at Eldora sell 50-50, or do they do five or six nights with six or seven people each night?
Yep.
Do they go out and get a golf team? Mm-hmm. You know, there's just, Yep. They're not pressured for anything. It's to the point where how much would they like to participate is how they get the money.
That's perfect.
So, again, like Mike was saying earlier, they get so much stuff done, you know, their fire runs and their trainings, and then we come back and ask them to do this kind of stuff on top of all that. But in return, the money that they're getting and able to replace
right.
or purchase equipment that they've never had, a lot of those videos that were sent during Family Fun Night when we were showcasing all that equipment, they were saying, you know, they didn't have some of that equipment no more in a week or two, and it was in service, saving lives already.
Yep.
So, if I can bring up a spot there.
Oh, absolutely.
We were talking about the at that same area, the grain bin.
Rescue tubes?
Rescue tubes.
Oh, yes.
You know, we happened to know that one of the units bought one of those, and within the next year it was used. That gives you a really good feeling inside for all these volunteers that are helping.
Right.
You saved that. You part of saving that life.
Right.
You made a difference.
Right. Even if you were on a completely different squad than the one that was there, everybody helps everybody, and everybody gets enough funds to get that specialized equipment that you might use it once every 2 years, but man, what's it worth? It's worth somebody's life.
Yep.
But you also don't need five of them in 5 miles of each other either, where right. you can all buy different equipment
right.
and be able to cover more area.
Yeah. And you know, when there's, let's say, water ball contests and that kind of thing, sometimes the fire departments compete against each other. When it comes down to when lives are on the line, everybody's on the same team, and they if they need Fort Recovery's whatever this piece of equipment is, let's say the ladder truck, off it goes. If we need their grain tube to rescue somebody, here it comes. Everybody, as you said, everybody doesn't need every single piece of equipment themselves, but if they all have some of it between, you know, the neighboring ones, that can be huge, that it's all accessible.
Yes, absolutely. Like you said, that money goes a lot farther when yeah. everybody gets a little bit something different.
Well, and it really helps. You know, our local guys, they do the omelet breakfast, and they do the chicken dinners, and I think they do a couple other things, and that raises a pretty good amount of money, and definitely a lot of visibility and goodwill, but you know, things like that we don't necessarily see them going down to Eldoria and selling tickets. That's a big chunk more than that helps them get extra equipment that they might not be able to afford.
Yeah.
It just.
And the nice thing about going to Eldora selling tickets is, you know, like you said, you're in the fire department's backyard. They could knock on your back door and say, "Hey, Neil, we need some help out yep. at Eldora. Can yep. you come help us?" And,
yep.
you know, you'd be able to raise that, you know, yep. $75, $100 an hour worth of your time
yep.
for our department.
And I've one thing I've thought several times is when they're doing their omelet breakfast, if they get a fire run and they're trying to make omelets, I can do that. I can't do seven of them, or however many they have there. But, you know, there are people that I know would just walk right in and do whatever they could. Might not be exactly what everybody wants, but if the firemen are out there, you know, saving somebody's house or chicken barn or whatever it is, people are going to understand that, you know, maybe your omelet's not going to be quite as good as what the fireman would do, but you can still put the $20 in the canister and everything will be okay. Let's take a quick break again, and we'll come back and kind of talk about some more stuff, maybe wrap things up and see what we have here. So we'll be back in just a little bit.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
you can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Be sure to stop into Wayne IGA and check out the new items in their grab-and-go cooler. Their fresh store-made salads, jalapeno cheddar and original deer summer sausage, and more. And be sure to check out Zach's Heat and Eat pork belly bites and barbecue brisket. And while you're at it, grab one of their famous store-made cheese balls and a meat and cheese tray, or even a fruit or veggie tray. Grab-and-go at Wayne IGA has all your favorites and several awesome new treats you'll want to try. Wayne IGA, your local store with a whole lot more. Here are the basketball broadcasts coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow evening, our Lady Indians will host the New Bremen Lady Cardinals in their first MAC game of the season, and it'll be Student Appreciation Night with all Fort Recovery students getting in free. We'll simulcast WPGW's broadcast of the game, which can also be heard on the NFHS video. Then on Saturday evening, the boys will be back in action hosting the Bradford Railroaders. We'll simulcast WPGW's broadcast of that game, which can also be heard on the NFHS video. Girls tomorrow night hosting New Bremen, boys on Saturday hosting Bradford. Get up to the Fort Site Fieldhouse to help cheer on our Indians teams, but if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. Welcome back to Insight. We're here with folks from Racing from Relief, and we've gone over a lot of things. Have we left anything out? Anything we need to touch on that we haven't hit yet, or give a little more emphasis to something we might have kind of brushed across? And definitely want to recap all the really good highlights of what it is, what do you do, how would somebody be involved with you guys, with either the we'll call it a club, and or the races and that type of thing, wherever we want to start with any of that, if there's anything we've left out, is anything you guys can think of we want to go over that we haven't hit?
Yeah, so I see one of the questions you have had for us, and I don't know how well we touched on it, was can people join?
Oh, yeah.
So we definitely always could use more help, especially on our committee side. I think we have about 7 members currently, but...
Even if they're not racers?
Yeah, even if you don't race, Toby Hilsman, he's an accountant and has no interest in racing or anything like that. He just comes and helps us. But if anybody out there anywhere has free time on their hands, because like say the seven of us that do the majority of it do about 70 people's worth of work, it feels like a lot of times. Yep. So yeah, that's
They always say if you want something done, find the busiest person you know.
Oh yeah,
because they'll always find some way to get some more done. The people that don't do anything can find all kinds of reasons not to. So yeah, that's so. And if they want to join, I think we talked about they could maybe do a message on Facebook or on the Facebook page, that type of thing.
Yep, that's the easiest.
Yep.
Or if you know one of our numbers, shoot us a text or a call, and
yep,
we'll get you.
Help. Call the radio station.
Yes, I will give your numbers out. Yeah, that's because what you guys do is just. If all you do is just the go-kart racing at the community picnics, that's pretty cool. And that is really neat. But when you find out, that you're raising $262,000 to give away to EMS and fire, that's crazy.
But there's so many people, and we can't even start a list, that does behind-the-scenes work that are right, not noticed. you know, and one of the bigger ones is going back to whoever's prepping those go-kart tracks all the time they put in during the week.
Yep.
To the ones that are helping out, again, don't want to join, but just want to volunteer. None of those people are seen. None of those names get out. We're not going to start a list because we'll be here before you guys shut down at midnight. But that leads us over to one other thing. We do have a few civic groups that we also help. And without them, we couldn't be who we are. And one of them is going to be the Fort Recovery Ambassador Park. They've been helping us for how many years? We've scratched their back some. They've scratched ours quite often. But they're one of them that gets money from this as well, being a civic group. And then we also have one in Salina that helps out, Salina Lions Club. And then we have the St. Henry Athletic Boosters, the Versailles KSC, and the Chickasaw Park. So it's not strictly 100% fire EMS helping. It's not 100% volunteers.
Yep.
But it's different organizations in different communities that are also making a difference.
Yep. So that's really important because, you know, if you just had to have your own crew that went out to each one, those people get pretty tired pretty quick. That'd be a long summer.
Especially if you do three or four nights at Eldora and then go back into having to do a go-kart race either right before or right after.
Yep.
Then people are not going to be there every day. So you do have to pull from a large pool.
Yep. So, and you guys started in 2014, is that correct? So was that when you started with working with the Red Cross, or was that after you, you kind of worked with Red Cross a little bit, right? And then they were keeping all the money was kind of going away.
Okay.
And not staying here. Is that, am I remembering that? I shouldn't say remember, because I'm just, that's what it seemed like happened, because that's what Fort Recovery Lions Club did, and now we're the community club. The money's all going away.
I can kind of fill in some blanks for you there.
Okay.
I think, if I remember, racing for relief used to be the Red Cross Racing in Portland, Indiana.
Okay.
And that started in, I believe, 1998.
Somewhere in there. It's in the late 90s.
Yeah, late 90s. And I got on in about 2000. And that ran up till 2014. And they kind of just, we took off from there then. It was getting to be old shoe out there. Everybody was tired of doing it. So then Alan jumped on, Nathan jumped on, and we got a group and kind of took off from there.
And did what you really do instead of what it used to be, which was probably nice and all that, but
sure,
and helped some people. But with what you guys are doing now, it's just so far, you know, so far beyond what
we've made advances. Ever,
yes.
Yeah.
that's kind of a very low key way to say advances, because I'm going to guess that when it was the other thing, they probably never gave away $262,000.
I can't remember our first year offhand what it was. That was in the neighborhood of 27,000.
Yeah, I think that's pretty close.
30 was pretty phenomenal. If we ever got to 30, just go-kart racing, that was a great year.
Yep.
And then that kept building up to, unfortunately, COVID year, which blanked a lot of us. But once we got COVID done in our rearview mirror in 2021, we were able to give $250,000. In 2022, we were able to give $200,000. And then 2023, which last weekend, we were able to give out $262,200 in 3 years. That's $627,000. But since existence, we were able to donate $957,300.
Wow.
And that does not include $14,000 in scholarships and other stuff like that. So
$1 million. For all intents and purposes.
You're knocking on the back door.
Yeah, and next year it'll be way past that. So that's incredible. You know, we were talking about some of the groups that kind of just do stuff like that. And you know, those crazy people out at St. Anthony Dinner Theater, they've given away almost $1.5 million. And, you know, it's just people doing stuff that they enjoy doing and raising money to help other people and in your case, certain causes and that type of thing. So how does it feel to be able to do that? Does that make you as happy as it seems like it does?
Especially on Saturday night, seeing their faces, them telling their story of what they purchased in the past, what their intent is in the future. A lot of our sponsors may be around there. They get to see all that firsthand stuff. And, yeah, it's a really nice, fuzzy feeling inside. Of course, it goes away because Sunday, because you're starting back over again. But
you know, especially if you've been able to be that successful, even with, you know, I think you said 27,000 1 year, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money, and you have to feel pretty good about being able to raise that for good causes. That's just, you know, there's nothing better than the feeling of being able to give and help people. I don't know if people haven't done that, go do it. Figure out a way to do it. And there's a million opportunities. There's a lot of stuff going on, and you do not have to be a brilliant promoter to do it. You just go out and kind of do this stuff like you got. I'm guessing none of you are professional promoters. So, you know, and look what you've done.
We use the guy in the corner.
Yeah, Rocker. He's the promoter. So, yeah, you know, it's people doing things that they enjoy and helping other people. That is so good.
But you surround yourself with good people as you come in here, talk tonight, the trustees, their wives, the volunteers. You just got to surround yourself with good people and good results happen.
Yep.
And even our area, you can't beat this area for this. We all know. We're all sitting here knowing the same thing.
Yep. And sometimes you don't even realize it till you start hearing 262,000, a million point something out there at St. Anthony Dinner Theater, the 100 and something thousand raised for the Ninja Park that's past spring on a wiffle ball tournament. It's
crazy.
It is. And you're seeing these giant numbers and thinking that's unreal. But it would be any place in the world, but around here, because around here, everybody goes, yeah, it seems about right. they put a lot of effort in that, worth $100,000 to do a park for the kids. You know, it's just unbelievable what we kind of have around here that's just so much. And we do sometimes take it for granted, but a lot of times we do start realizing that it doesn't take a huge amount of work to help a lot of people. If you get, you know, like with your club, there's several people that do a lot of the work, but a whole bunch of people do a little bit of work, and it all works really well. So, anything else we want to cover before we take a break and get to Rocker?
Nope. The only thing we ask is watch our Facebook page for some announcements coming up within the next 2 weeks.
All right. So, and get on there quick to get on the bowling thing on end of January, right? There's still a couple of...
There's some openings on January 26th at 7:30. Verbally, it's getting full.
Yep.
But currently, we can at least say there's a couple openings in there. Late shift on Saturday is full. Early shift is still open, but after three shifts, that's it. We're taking the first 48 teams, and we're shutting her down.
All right. So, well, we appreciate you guys coming on, and we'll hope we can get around to you again next year and get the word out, and because what you guys do is tremendous. It's just it's incredible to be able to specifically give to EMS and fire. It's just something else. So we thank you for coming on. We'll be back in just a little bit with Rocker and his This Day in Pop Culture History. See you in just a minute or two.
Forrest Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forrest, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forrest Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forrest Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Hello, this is Kim Rammel, site manager for the Fort Recovery Museum. We welcome you to visit our temporary exhibit, St. Clair's Defeat Revisited, A New View of the Conflict. This exhibit uses four themes to tell the story of St. Clair's defeat from a Native perspective. Come learn about the crescent strategy used by Native fighters during the battle, the long-term aftermath following St. Clair's defeat, and persistence of tribes today. The exhibit was co-created by 11 tribal citizens and archaeologists from Ball State University. We are excited and proud to be the first venue for this exhibit before it travels to Fort Wayne, Oklahoma, Columbus, and other museums throughout the country. We are proud that over 600 people have visited the museum since the exhibit's opening on November 4th. The museum is open until January 7th on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, with the only exceptions being open on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on Christmas and New Year's weekends. The hours are 11 to 4, and admission is free. Check out our website at www.fortrecoverymuseum.com and our Facebook page for more information. Put aside some time this holiday season to visit our museum to see this informative exhibit, St. Clair's Defeat Revisited, A New View of the Conflict, running through the first weekend in January. We hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Insight. We had the guys from Racing for Relief on, and they were able to give $262,000 out to EMS and Fire. Now we go to Randy Rocker Bonvillain, and it is this week in
pop culture history.
I always get it wrong. What do we have?
Of course, we did both days.
Yes, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yesterday, 1901, Walt Disney was born in Chicago. I bet you didn't know that, did you?
You're right, I didn't. You know what else?
Or didn't care.
Yeah, that's it. I didn't care. 1901 was, I guess, is. I figured he was older. I was born before that.
And now he's on ice. Literally,
yes, he is.
Literally. On ice.
Yep. Yeah, Disney on ice. I've seen it seen it advertised on TV. Disney on ice.
But Walt's the actual ice.
Oh, his body's on ice. I thought you were talking about the little skating shows that they have, Disney on ice.
1905, Chiclets are trademarked and sold in stores.
All right.
Do you remember those little things?
Yep.
They still sell them, don't they?
Probably. They hadn't sold any to me.
Was it renamed? Probably named.
I doubt it. Chiclets is, you know, little white things. People say knock your chiclets out when they're talking about knocking your teeth out.
Okay, that's where we die a slow death.
Yeah, we'll talk faster then.
Today we got 1964. Rankin Bass's Rudolph rides into CBS for the first time.
Who, what? Rankin Bass.
Rankin Bass.
I don't know what Rankin Bass is.
The cartoon, the claymation, Rudolph.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
1964 rides on the CBS for the first time. That was, and now it's been a tradition ever since.
Yep. Now I was 14. I probably would have seen that, but I don't remember it.
Once again, it goes under the category don't care.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I care a little bit.
So glad I put this together.
Me too.
1995.
Oh, yeah.
Queen's last album, ironically titled Made in Heaven.
Well.
Hits the stores.
So any hits off of that one? What were some
biggies? I don't know, because it was, he died like 4 years before they released this album, so I wouldn't know.
So no lead vocals. If he's
there
dead.
Was, but
he, well, he's dead. Were, how did he do lead vocals if he's dead?
They recorded them.
Oh. He recorded them before he died?
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
Good thinking on their part.
Could help.
They're pretty smart.
Are you birthday time?
Oh, boy.
These are some big ones, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday, Kelly Niergarter, or Holly Niergarter, sorry about that.
Do I know her?
That'd be Kelly's sister, Kelly Ben's sister.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Today we got Rachel Atchison and Natalie Holman.
Mm-hmm. And Mike Etzler.
Oh, there we go.
And Jeff Fortkamp.
Tomorrow we got Stacey Link.
All right.
One of your favorites.
Yes, she's awesome.
Frank Tan and Ken Judy.
Frank Tan and Kenny Judy.
That's quite a trio, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And our citizen of the day, the birthday girl herself.
Oh, yeah?
Stacey Link.
All right. Good for her.
And now comes the unimportant part, the one, your favorite part, the celebrity birthday part.
Oh, good. Are there any Kennedys?
No Kennedys.
Oh,
well. Most of them are dead.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we got comedian Margaret Cho turned 55.
Well, then.
Yeah, well, I didn't say they were high points, but just...
Yeah, she's funny. I don't remember anything she did, but I remember she's funny-ish.
Neither is she.
Okay.
Malcolm in the Middle with Frankie Muniz is 38.
Ooh, never saw the show.
Neither did I, by the way. And today we got... Poltergeist is Joe Beth Williams is 85. Wow. 75. Sorry about that.
Oh, well, then that's still young.
Took 10 years, added 10 years on that poor gal.
Yeah, that's not nice.
Crazy comedian Stephen Wright is 68.
Yes, he is crazy. I enjoy him, though. He's got a little kind of dry sense of humor.
A little out there.
Yeah, kind of off-the-wall stuff.
And director Judd Apatow is 56.
Well, that's all we have?
That's all we got.
Kind of stuff did he direct?
Knocked Up, 40 Virgins.
40-year-old
Virgin? 40-year-old
Virgin. Oh.
He had the high marks.
Oh, well then. So he's really something.
Yes.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll...
It's sports talk time, isn't it?
Yep, about sports talk time. So those guys didn't come in and harass you, and I did the best I could.
All right. Bubba let you down.
Yep, it'll be okay. I think they're out there kind of chit-chatting with the coach before we
get all boozed up.
Yep, so we'll be back with sports talk in just a few minutes. The guys are going to talk with Tyler Deitch, our ladies... basketball coach. Be back in just a few minutes.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community.